The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 413 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Love to get your feedback there on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. We have a lot to cover. Jam-packed show today on the Sports Report. I'll tell you why the Rams gave up everything but their firstborn for the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. That trade can be summed up in one word. The NBA playoffs are underway. There were some behind the woodshed specials, an injury to the reigning MVP, and a tough game one for LeBron and the Cavs. I'll break down all eight game ones in the NBA playoffs. Kobe's career has come to an end. Is he really the greatest Laker of all time? That's what you heard from Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal. I'll get into that a little bit, and I'll let you know where things stand in the NHL playoffs as well. All of it coming up here on episode number 413 of the Sports Report. Beautiful weather here in southeast Pennsylvania. I gotta tell you what, it is gorgeous. Sunshine getting up near 80 degrees, and after the winter we had, I am so thankful. So I'm in a good mood. We have the NBA playoffs. We have hockey playoffs. The draft is less than 2 weeks away. Baseball is back. A lot of great things going on in the world of sports. Please keep those five-star reviews coming in the podcast section of iTunes. Helps to promote the show there. And again, you can download all of the shows on iTunes or on The Grizz. That's GrizzlyProductions.tv. We're with you every Monday. All right, let's start in the NFL. You know I am a draft geek, certified nerd when it comes to the NFL draft. And we're now less than 2 weeks away. Of course, we have a blockbuster deal to get to. You know what went down? Titans traded the number one pick to the LA Rams. I'm still getting used to that. Are you as well? The Los Angeles Rams, still trying to get used to that again. Tennessee is sending the top pick along with its fourth and sixth round picks this year to the Rams, in exchange for LA's first-round pick, which is number 15, two second-round selections, and a third-round pick. But wait, there's more. Sound like a game show host here. The Titans also get the Rams' first and third picks in the 2017 draft. So you get the first-round pick this year, which is a swap, 2 seconds, a third this year, next year a first rounder and a third round pick. I mean, they got everything, the shirt off Jeff Fisher's back and the kitchen sink, the whole kit and caboodle. Young kids, Google that phrase or ask your parents or grandparents about it. They got it all. The Titans now own 6 of the top 76 picks in this draft. 6 of the top 76 players they're going to get. So the question is obvious. Why do you give up so much? It's simple. In fact, this boils down to one word. And it begins with a D. No, not dumb. If you were thinking dumb, that's not the word I had in mind. The word I have in mind is desperation. The Rams have not had a winning season since 2003. You've heard me say it a bazillion times. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't win. It's pretty cut and dry. Well, the Rams are, what's the word again? Desperate for a quarterback. That is the only reason you give up the farm, which is what they did. Make no mistake about it. They gave up the farm. That's the only reason that you do that to get the number one pick, because you're going to take a quarterback. You don't go up to number one overall to take a tackle or a wide receiver or a corner or a safety or a linebacker, whatever else. You go up number one overall to get a quarterback. That's it. End of the list. That's the only position. And Jeff Fisher and company better be right, because they gave up a ton. This is a very, very risky move, because there are no guarantees. Now, Jeff Fisher probably loves it, because he's concerned about what? Winning now. A lot of people thought he'd be canned after last season, but he is back. No guarantees, though, with Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State or Jared Goff from Cal. Wentz is bigger, played in a pro-style offense. He was under center more. He's the more mobile of the two. Goff has more snaps in college, more throws to look at, played against better competition in the Pac-12, more capable of starting right away, but you've heard about the small hands. I haven't heard as much talk about hands since the Seinfeld episode where George was going to be a hand model. And then also Goff not as mobile as Wentz is. So there are pluses and minuses to both these quarterbacks, but these are not surefire stud NFL QBs. These are not two locks. We don't know for sure, and anybody who says they know for sure is lying. There's no guarantee either way, if you go Wentz or if you go Goff. No guarantees here. The Titans, well, timing's everything, and they were in the perfect position to take advantage of desperate teams. Tennessee already has its quarterback with Marcus Mariota. So they didn't need Wentz. They didn't need Goff. Now they can build around him. I think it's a great deal for John Robinson, the general manager. They get six of the top 76 players. And we know in the NFL, things can turn around very quickly. It seems like every single season it happens. You look at what happened when Andy Reid goes out to Kansas City and Chip Kelly comes in and the Eagles get to the playoffs in year number one. There's a lot of turnover in the National Football League. You can go from worst to first and vice versa. So you got a lot of picks now. Now, there's no guarantee that the Titans don't screw this up, but if you're a Titans fan, you have to be loving this pick. And if you're the Rams, your fingers are crossed that you're going to get a quarterback who is legit. Because if he's not, whew, you really, really decimated your future by giving up so many picks. This is episode number 413 of the Sports Report. Much more to come. Big NBA segment on the way. We'll talk some NHL playoffs. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. iHome has a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. They are waterproof, they are rustproof, and they are military standard shockproof. I kid you not. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds. If you're a fitness guru, if you travel a lot, or you just like hang out at home and relaxing with your headphones or earbuds, they have you covered there. iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. I want you to go to the website and check out all of the products, the apps, the accessories. That website is iHomeAudio.com. iHomeAudio.com. I am telling you, not only does the stuff look really, really cool, but it sounds great. And you get tremendous value with these iHome products. The site again, iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 413 of the Sports Report. Last year, Golden State and Houston met in the Western Conference Finals. This year, the Warriors are still an elite team. We know that, but the Rockets, I'll be nice. The weather's nice. I'll be nice. The Rockets, not so much, okay? They barely got in the playoffs at 41-41. They're the number 8 seed. We all know that Golden State is going to advance. They own Houston. Going into game 1, the Warriors had won 12 of their last 13 games versus the Rockets. All right, that is ownership. This series got a lot more interesting, however, when Steph Curry rolled his ankle in the second quarter of game 1. He played a little in the third quarter, then he went back to the locker room. He did not play anymore. It was a 104-78 blowout of Houston. Curry was laughing on the bench, which is a good sign. He said post-game that he could not see himself missing game 2. He scored 24 points in only 20 minutes. He shot 8-13. He hit 5 threes. Imagine if he did not hurt his ankle. I mean, he could easily gone for 35-40 in this one. He did not practice Sunday. He got treatment instead. Steve Kerr said he's questionable. If Curry can't go, then Sean Livingston would start, who is a really valuable piece to the Golden State puzzle. He's underrated. I don't think Golden State needs Curry to beat the Houston Rockets. That's not what I'm talking about here. But if the Warriors want to repeat as NBA champs, they're going to need the reigning MVP. And I hope that this is nothing serious because Curry is so much fun to watch. The dude made 402 three-pointers this year. 402. His range, his handle, it's sick. I mean, there is a buzz in the air when this guy is playing. Now, Golden State is not a one-man band. The team is outstanding. You don't win 73 games, an NBA record. You don't surpass Michael and Scotty and that Chicago Bulls team by only having one guy who can play. Not the case. They've got Thompson. They've got Green. Iguodala was so good in the playoffs last year. I mentioned Livingston. Barnes can knock down a shot. You have multiple shooters, multiple guys who can handle, extremely unselfish, which I love, and their defense is underrated. In fact, Green was the runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. James Harden in Game 1 was held to 17 points, 7 of 19 shooting, and did not attempt one free throw. This is a guy who makes his living at the free throw line. Houston is going to keep getting hammered if that keeps happening. The Rockets were not the only team to get drilled in Game 1. The number 3 seed Oklahoma City pummeled Dallas 108-70. Good night. It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to get embarrassed. 38-point loss. Ugh. Mark Cuban could not have been a happy camper. Westbrook had 24 points, 11 assists. Durant went for 23. OKC was up 26-11 after a quarter. That's right. Through 12 minutes, Dallas was on pace for 44 points. There are some series that I wish we could hit the fast-forward button and just move on through. This is one of them. This is an obvious mismatch. Celtics and Hawks gave us a good one Saturday in Atlanta. Boston, the 5 seed, one of the best stories in the NBA this year. That coaching staff has done a phenomenal job. Well, they came back from a 19-point deficit, and they took the Hawks right down to the wire. Jeff Teague was the difference here, both scoring and setting up his teammates. He had 23 points. He had 12 assists. And Atlanta won 102-101. Boston was awful in the first half. The Celtics shot 23%. They picked it up in the second half, led by the little guy, Isaiah Thomas, who was an all-star this year. He had 27 points. The big news in this game was Avery Bradley's hamstring injury. Likely out for the rest of the series. And that is a backbreaker for the Celtics for a couple of reasons. Number one, he is their second leading scorer. And number two, he is a very, very good perimeter defender. And when you're playing a team that has Jeff Teague, that is vital. So a key loss for Boston. Game 2 is Tuesday. One big question that I had coming into the postseason was, could the Raptors finally advance? What was going on with Toronto? They had their best regular season ever, 56-26. They got the number two seed, but, and this is a Fat Albert-sized but, Toronto's lost its last five first-round series. Last year, they were swept. Sure enough, they dropped game one to Indiana 100-90 because they had no answer for Paul George in the second half especially. He was quiet in the first half, finishes with 33, 4 of 5 from downtown, and in the second half, he shot 10 of 13. I mean, the guy was unstoppable, made almost every shot.
On top of that, the dynamic duo in the backcourt for Toronto, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, were atrocious. 8 of 32 combined, 25 points put together. Toronto has zero shot in this series if those two don't get it together. Zero. The Raptors were 4 of 19 from 3, shot 38% overall. Ouch. Toronto's lost 7 consecutive playoff games. A must win tonight for Toronto. To Sunday, number 8 seed Detroit was not intimidated at all playing at Cleveland. The Pistons were up 5 at halftime. They were up 2 after the third quarter. They were up 7 with 11 minutes to go. Kevin Love hit back-to-back threes midway through the fourth quarter, and the Cavs did hold off Detroit 106-101, but this was a really, really good game, by far the best game of the day. The Pistons have very little playoff experience. Only one of their starters has playoff experience, but they work really hard. They didn't back down. Cleveland had to earn this one. Stan Van Gundy was annoyed at the officials. He said during an in-game interview that LeBron can do whatever he wants and he's not going to get called for an offensive foul. After the game, he backtracked on that. He said that the calls evened out. The refereeing had nothing to do with the outcome. And Van Gundy added that it was decided by the players on the floor, as it should be, which I like to hear. You know, I am the chief of the excuse police. So I hate when fans and coaches and players blame the umpires, the officials, the referees. Just go out and play. Now, one of his guys, Reggie Jackson, who can be a hothead, lost his cool and got teed up with 3.5 minutes to go. Detroit was within 4 at the time. That just cannot happen. Period. End of story. You have to be smarter than that. This is the playoffs. You've got a shot to steal game one on the road against the favorite in the Eastern Conference. Can't get a technical there. Jackson played well, 17 points, 7 assists, but that was a dumb move. Detroit shot 51% as a team, went 15 of 29 from 3. Usually, if you do that, you expect to win. The big three was just too much, though. Irving had 31. Love had 28 and 13 boards. LeBron had 22, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds. So you look at the big three there, that's 81 of their 106 points. And I've said all along, despite what some media bobbleheads may say about LeBron and the Cavaliers, they are clearly the best team in the East. I said it last year. I said it again this year. I have never wavered on that. With Irving and Love healthy, they are the only team, the only one in the East that can challenge a Golden State or a San Antonio. Nobody else in the East has a shot. No way, no how. Sorry, but that's the truth. Game two between Cleveland and Detroit is on Wednesday. Miami and Charlotte is supposed to be a good series. Both clubs played really well down the stretch. The Hornets were 21-8 after the All-Star break. Only the Warriors and the Spurs were better. How about that? Game one, unfortunately, was a joke. Miami, the 3 seed, rolled 123-91. Disappointing. I hate blowouts. The Heat put up 41 points in the first quarter. They led by 19. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. 31 points for Luol Deng. 21 and 11 for Hassan Whiteside. And D-Wade chipped in with 16 and 7 assists. Miami shot 58%. Now, Charlotte's a really young team here. Maybe they surprised people in the regular season. They did not surprise the Heat. Miami was ready to go, and this quickly turned into a demolition derby. Game two is on Wednesday. The Spurs had the seventh best record in league history and finished six games behind the Warriors. Think about that for a second. One of the best seasons ever, and you're not even close to the best record in your conference. They were under the radar, but that's how Popovich and company like it in San Antonio. 67-15, and you're under the radar. San Antonio drew Memphis in round one. The Grizzlies are without Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and others. They have been devastated by injuries, and it's a shame because that is a quality squad when healthy. The size that they can have in there with Gasol, who's an excellent passer for a big man, and Randolph. Conley's a really, really good guard, but they're out. Game one, another behind the woodshed special here. The Spurs won 106-71. They outscored Memphis 33-14 in the third quarter. I love how the Spurs play defense. The only starter for the Grizzlies who scored more than 6 points was Vince Carter. He had 16. That is it. One starter had over 6 points. Zach Randolph was 3 of 13. He only had 6. Kawhi Leonard, who was named the Defensive Player of the Year again, he led everybody with 20 points. What a spectacular talent he is, both ends of the floor. LaMarcus Aldridge had 17, 15 for Tony Parker. San Antonio could get the brooms out in this series. Sunday was the Grizzlies' worst postseason loss ever. Game two is on Tuesday. Final game of the weekend was the 4-5 matchup out west, Portland at L.A. Surprise, surprise, another rout. Clippers won 115-95. Blake Griffin looked really good. He played 32 minutes, got 19 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, went to the free throw line 12 times. This is a great sign if you're a Clippers fan. If he's doing that, LA becomes a much more legitimate contender. I am a huge Chris Paul fan. Terrific point guard. He can do it all. He had 28, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. DeAndre Jordan added 18 and 12. He also had 4 blocks. J.J. Redick was on fire in game one. Clippers are no joke with Griffin back now. Game two is on Wednesday. 5 of the 8 game ones were absolute blowouts. I don't have a horse in the race. I'm a Sixers fan, and we don't need to go down that road. I'm just looking for close games. That's it. This weekend was historically bad. How bad? Well, the average margin in the 8 openers was 20 points. The most lopsided group of game ones ever this year. On Sunday, 3 games were decided by 20 points or more. It was only the 4th time in NBA history that that occurred in the playoffs. And the first time since 1999. I was still in college. Please, can we get some better games? Hopefully by next round, we do. No promises for round one, but next round, I think we'll get some better matchups. This is episode 413 of the Sports Report. Thanks again for tuning in. Tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, if they like sports, check us out. We're here every Monday on iTunes and, of course, on grizzlyproductions.tv. I'm on Twitter at thesportsrpt. Always appreciate it if you follow me there. On Twitter at thesportsrpt. And you can comment on anything that we get into, including this topic, which is Kobe Bryant. Now, he put on a show. Staples Center was sold out last week, and Kobe went for 60 in his final game. They came back. They beat the Jazz. He hit a couple big threes late. 101-96 was the final score. I was actually more interested in watching the Warriors that night because they were going for NBA history. Listen, Kobe is a Hall of Fame player, but this year, he was not playing anywhere near a Hall of Fame level, and we all knew it. And the Lakers stink. They've won 17 games. All right, they're horrendous. So I was more into the Warriors, but then they pulled away. So then I did watch Kobe, and the fans were chanting his name after he left with just a few seconds left on the clock. He actually outscored the Jazz by himself in the fourth quarter, 23-21. He took 50 shots in the game. 50. I don't know that that's real efficient. A lot of media bobbleheads will say, oh, Kobe scored 60. But they fail to mention that he took 50 shots to get to 60 points. The most shots taken by anyone in an NBA game in the last 30 seasons. The 60 points, the most scored by a player in his final regular season game. By the way, the Lakers' record, 17-65, the worst season in franchise history. So a Hall of Fame career, a 20-year career is in the books. I want to go back to, you know, what happened that night. Magic Johnson was introducing Kobe, and also I heard Shaquille O'Neal say the same thing. They referred to Kobe as the greatest Laker ever. Ever. And he has quite a resume. 5 championships. He's an 18-time All-Star in the league, 20 years. All-Star 18 times. Not too bad. Won an MVP in 2008. MVP of the finals in 2009 and 2010. He's 3rd all-time in points with over 33,600. 9 times he was named first team all defensive team in the NBA. That's impressive. This guy could guard too. So we know he's a Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest two guards of all time, but I don't know that I put him ahead of Magic or Kareem. And I think Jerry West is in the conversation too when you talk about the greatest Laker of all time. I don't put Kobe ahead of Magic or Kareem. Kareem won 6 MVPs. Kobe won. Kareem's number one all-time in points, over 38,000. He's number 3 in rebounds. He's number 3 in blocks. And he won 6 championships. One more than Kobe Bryant. And he had a shot that nobody could defend in the skyhook. Magic changed the game. You never saw a point guard at 6'9". He could handle the ball. One of my favorite players growing up. The flash, the pizzazz, those Lakers teams, the battles with the Celtics. You had Worthy, you had Byron Scott, you had Magic, you had Kareem, Kurt Rambis with the goggles. I mean, those Lakers teams, it was showtime. I mean, they were the perfect team to be out in L.A. Magic won 3 MVPs. Again, Kobe only won. Magic won 5 titles. Magic also number 1 in NBA history when you look at assists per game. He averaged 11 assists per game for his career. That is remarkable. Now, Jerry West averaged 27 points a game. He could score. The knock on Jerry West, he only won 1 championship. I would put Kareem and Magic both ahead of Kobe Bryant. I think they are both top 10 players of all time. I think Kobe's right on the bubble there as far as getting in the top 10. I mean, you have, you know, Michael, obviously, and LeBron, it's hard to judge him because his career isn't over yet. I mean, how many more MVPs could he get? How many more championships could he get? But you have big guys, you know, like Kareem and Wilt Chamberlain and Russell. You have Magic and Larry. You talked about MJ. I mean, right there, I got a half dozen names. So I think Kobe's or right around number 10, I don't think he is the best Laker of all time. You can weigh in on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. Moving along on episode number 413 of The Sports Report. Let's get to the ice here. Did you see the goal? I'm a Flyers fan. Did you see the goal that Steve Mason let in game two at Washington? Oh my goodness. I mean, it makes you cringe. It was from beyond center ice. I mean, really, this thing's going to be on the blooper reels for years and years and years and years to come. It had to be one of the worst goals allowed in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Beyond center ice, Flyers are down 2-0 in that series to the Capitals. Washington won the President's Trophy, 120 points, but the Caps are well known for gagging in the playoffs. Since Ovechkin has been there, they have not made it past the second round. Will this be the year? The Penguins were the hottest team in the East down the stretch, even with the merry-go-round in goal. They lost to the Rangers 4-2 in Game 2, so that series is even. Henrik Lundqvist was back in net for New York after a bizarre eye injury involving the stick of one of his teammates. Mark Staal managed to poke him in the eye, but he was back. Now, Malkin came back for Pittsburgh, but Marc-Andre Fleury is still out. It's been a revolving door net for Pittsburgh. Detroit needed to win Sunday. The Red Wings got the job done. 2-0 over the Lightning. Tampa Bay's up 2-1 there. Islanders are up 2-1 on the Panthers. New York outlasted Florida 4-3 in overtime in Game 3. Thomas Hickey had the game winner. In the Western Conference, Chicago versus St. Louis. This is an epic first-round battle. The Blues had 107 points. The Blackhawks, 103. This one really doesn't feel like a first-round matchup. St. Louis scored twice in the third period in Chicago to take Game 3, 3-2. Big comeback win for the Blues. The Hawks are down now 2-1. This should be a long series. I think most people coming in thought this one could go 7. How about the Predators jumping out to a 2-0 lead on the Ducks? Anaheim won the Pacific Division, but they've lost two straight on home ice behind the eight ball here. The Stars are up 2-0 on the Wild. No surprise, Dallas had the most points in the Western Conference with 109. Most people thought they'd advance pretty easily. Looks like that'll happen. And the Sharks won the first two games against the Kings. Game 3 tonight at San Jose. Now remember, 2 years ago, the Sharks led LA 3-0 in the first round, but the Kings roared back and won the series, and then they went on to win the Stanley Cup. You can't count out LA. You can't count out Chicago. That's what I know. If you want to weigh in on the NHL playoffs, feel free on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. NHL NBA playoffs, is Kobe the greatest Laker of all time? And what do you think about the blockbuster trade between the Titans and the Rams? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Have a great week, everybody. Get out and enjoy this weather. The summer isn't too far away. Neither is the NFL draft. Can't wait for that. Less than 2 weeks until the draft. Thanks so much for listening again. Please keep those 5-star reviews coming if you listen to us in the podcast section of iTunes. And we're on the Grizz every Monday. This has been episode number 413 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv.